John chapter 20. Three appearances are mentioned in this chapter of the Lord Jesus after his resurrection. The first appearance to Mary Magdalene. The first appearance. Now, when we put together different accounts from the Gospels, we understand that on Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, if you want to call it that, the Lord Jesus appeared five times on that day. The first appearance, the appearance to Mary Magdalene, recorded here in the beginning of our reading, John chapter 20, verse 11, and the verses which follow. Then, to the women as they returned from the tomb. And that is mentioned in Matthew chapter 28. The third appearance on that day, likely the appearance to Peter, mentioned in Luke chapter 24, mentioned also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, an appearance of which the Bible, concerning which the Bible does not give us any details, other than he has appeared to Peter. So that's number three on Resurrection Sunday. Number four on Resurrection Sunday, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Mentioned in detail, mentioned at length in Luke chapter 24. When they finally realized it was Jesus, he disappeared, and they made their way from Emmaus back to Jerusalem, and they told the other believers, they told the disciples of what they had seen. And then the Lord Jesus appeared the fifth time that day. The fifth time that day. And this is the appearance that we read of in John chapter 20 from verse 19 to verse 23. من عدد 13 إلى عدد 23 الظهور للتلاميذ مجتمعين بليلة ليلة يوم القيامة, the evening of Resurrection Sunday. So that is five appearances that day. Now, after that day, the appearance that follows immediately thereafter, as we compare what we have in the Gospels and also notably in 1 Corinthians 15, likely the next appearance was 1 week later, which means that it was also on a Sunday. And that is the appearance of which we read in our passage, John chapter 20, from verse 24 to verse 29. This is the appearance associated in a special way with who? With Thomas. So that was appearance number six. Now, what followed that was two appearances in Galilee. One of them likely was the appearance mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul says that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at a single time, and most of them are still alive, but some of them sleep. There was also an appearance to James, all right, mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15. And then after that, back in Jerusalem, the appearance associated with the ascension. ظهور المسيح مرة أخرى بمنيدة أورشليم وهذا الظهور يلي تم في الصعود mentioned in Luke 24, end of the chapter, and also mentioned in Acts chapter Acts chapter 1. So that's the general framework that we are thinking of. Let's go back to the day of the resurrection itself, Resurrection Sunday. Remember, first Mary Magdalene, then women returning from the tomb, then Peter on his own, then the Emmaus disciples, and then when they returned to Jerusalem, the Emmaus disciples, the appearance to the believers as a whole, or the group as a whole. But remember, Thomas wasn't there, and so a week later, an appearance to the group as a whole, Thomas being there. All right? John chapter 20 and verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And I'd like to speak about Thomas. I'd like to speak about the Lord Jesus appearing. Appearing to Thomas. Now, he didn't appear to Thomas only, he appeared to the group as a whole. But as I said, the appearance recorded for us in John chapter 20 and from verses 24 to 29 is specially geared, specially associated with the person of Thomas. Now, why was it that Thomas wasn't there? The evening of Resurrection Sunday, that first day in the evening when Christ appeared to the group, why is it that Thomas was not there? Answer, as simply as I can put it, is we don't know. We don't know. The Bible doesn't mention explicitly why Thomas wasn't there. It just says, and we read it, John chapter 20 and verse 24, that he was not with them. Now, we know what kind of mindset they had at this time. John chapter 20 and verse 19, the appearance to the group as a whole, the evening of Resurrection Sunday, it says, the first day of the week, and the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. So they were gathered together, but windows closed, doors locked, and when windows are closed and doors are locked, it says for fear of the Jews. It's not hard to go from that and say that maybe Thomas had the same mentality of fear, and perhaps it worked out for him to do what? To be alone in his own place, alone in his own home, and not to be with the others. Perhaps it was the same spirit of fear that drove them to meet so very secretly, so very fearfully, closed windows, locked doors, and all of that. Sadness at what had happened. Disappointment could also have played a role. Go with me to the Gospel of Mark and chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 tells us in verse 10 that she went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. So, a certain amount of sadness and discouragement. Remember the disciples on the way to Emmaus. What did they say? Turn with me to Luke 24. Luke 24 and verse 19. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And we hoped that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel. We had certain hopes. We had certain ideas. We had certain things that we expected to see. Sadness over what happened, disappointment, discouragement, combined with the fear that is mentioned, perhaps that led Thomas to be elsewhere. Let's remember that the Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. إنه ما نترك اجتماعنا كما لقوم عادي. The Bible says in Psalm 133 that the fellowship of believers is a very special thing. The story is told of a certain nobleman who lived in a small town, and at one point he decided to do something nice for the people of the town. He decided to build them a church. And so, with the funding that he provided, this work went forward, and a church building was built. And the people came to see what this building was like, and they noted its walls and arches and doors and different features of it that in various ways were special. But this was some time ago, before the days of electricity. There were places on the wall where lamps could be hung, but there weren't any lamps that were there. محلات على الحيط محل ما تتعلق مصابيح مصابيح بس ما كان في أي مصابيح موضوعة بهالمحلات. And they said, shouldn't there be lamps that hang on these nails, that hang in these spots upon the walls, so that there'll be light? And the man said, yes, I have lamps, but it is my plan not to put them on the walls right now. What I'm going to do is, here's a lamp for you, and a lamp for you, and a lamp for you, and a lamp for you. And he gave a lamp to each family in the town. And he said that when you come to the church to meet, you bring your lamp with you. And when you come and you bring your lamp with you, there will be light. And when you don't come and you don't bring your lamp with you, then there will be darkness. Then there will be darkness. Thomas was not there. Thomas was not there. Now let's go back a little bit and look at what we know about Thomas. We don't know that much about him. It says Thomas, who is called Didymus, and the word means a twin. And therefore, most likely, Thomas was someone who had a twin brother. Now, who was his twin brother? We don't know anything about that. It's even possible that his twin brother was elsewhere. It's even possible that his twin brother had died. Thomas, who was called Didymus, Thomas the twin. We only have two incidents in the Bible apart from this where Thomas is mentioned in any detail. Now, his name appears in lists of the disciples' names, and there are lists like that several times in the Gospels, and his name is there. But apart from that, we have just two incidents. Go with me to John chapter 11. They're both in the Gospel of John. John chapter 11 and verses 7 and 8. All right. John chapter 11 verses 7 and 8. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Towards the end of the ministry of the Lord Jesus, the enmity, the hostility of the leaders of the people had become stronger and more manifest. And so at this point in time, the area of Jerusalem where the leaders of the people were had the greatest influence, that area was particularly dangerous as far as the Lord Jesus was concerned. Now, who was in that area? Lazarus, the town of Bethany, Lazarus, of course, his sisters Mary and Martha, and Lazarus was sick, and that's what John chapter 11 is largely about. Let's go in John chapter 11 to verses 14 through 16. Then said Jesus unto them, plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. That we may die with him, why? Because of the enmity, the hostility of the leaders of the people, because of the fact that they were particularly influential in Jerusalem and the area of Jerusalem, and that's where Bethany was located. That's where Bethany was located. So, Lazarus has died, let's go. And the intent is that you would believe. And Thomas says, let's go that we may die with him. Let's go. That's good. That we may die with him. It doesn't sound like the statement of someone who is, shall we say, very optimistic. of someone who is... someone who has a tendency to look at the bright side. Looks like someone is pessimistic and sees the difficulties and the negative aspects of things. John chapter 14 is the second place where we have a little statement also made by Thomas. This is the second thing that we know of him. Let's read from John chapter 14 and beginning with verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Also, a somewhat negative statement. Notice that in what he said, Thomas flat out contradicted what the Lord Jesus said. The Lord Jesus said immediately before that, John chapter 14 and verse 4, where I go ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas said, no, we don't know. No, we don't know where you go. And if we don't know where you go, then how can we know the way? Now, the Lord Jesus had just said, we didn't read the very beginning of chapter 14, the verses well-known, well-loved, in my Father's house are many mansions, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So, what do we see and know of Thomas from other incidents? Not much. We have just these two statements. They appear to be statements somewhat negative, somewhat pessimistic. Now, Thomas wasn't there the first time the Lord Jesus appeared to the disciples as a group. The Lord Jesus had already appeared five times. Some people had seen him more than once. When you count up the other disciples and the women, on the day of the resurrection, the Lord Jesus appeared to around 15 people. And some of them had seen him twice. Certain among the women saw him twice. Peter saw him twice. The Emmaus disciples saw him twice. So there were 15 witnesses or so in a relatively short period of time who could say, we saw the Lord Jesus alive after his death. Of course, there was a very silent and yet very important witness, which is what? Which is the empty tomb. The empty tomb, very important. Very important. Now, there was, of course, the lie that the leaders of the people came up with, and they published it, spread it abroad, which is what? Which is while the guards were asleep, while the soldiers guarding the tomb were asleep, the disciples came and stole the body of Christ. It's a lie. And in various ways, we can see that it would not have been the case. We could talk about the disciples lacking opportunity. We could talk about the disciples being sad and discouraged and not, therefore, in the mood for such a great adventures. We can talk about the idea that people had that the resurrection was only in the end time, when the Lord Jesus told Mary, or was it Martha, that your brother will rise again. What did she say? She said, I know that he will rise again in the end times. There wasn't an idea that one would rise in spite of the prophecies of the Old Testament. There wasn't a general awareness or consciousness that one would arise before the end time in a special and unique way. But most importantly, these disciples later on, to the best of our knowledge, these disciples died for the sake of the faith. All their lives, they were in various ways dealing with the consequences of what? Of their faithful witness to the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ had risen. Because they said that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, they didn't end up in the presidential suite of the finest hotel in town. They ended up where? They ended up in prisons, they ended up threatened, they ended up beaten, and ultimately they died. Now, someone might say, well, people can die for something that is not true. There's a difference. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about people dying for something that is not true. We're talking about people dying for something which they know not to be true. For them to say that Christ arose when they stole his body from the grave, and later on for them to be willing to die for a lie, is something that is extremely unlikely. Now, we make these kinds of arguments, and they are arguments which I think have a good deal of power, and people should think of them, and people should consider them. But Thomas didn't have to make arguments of this kind. He didn't have to draw any conclusions, because he was one of the disciples, and he knew that he hadn't stolen the body of Christ, and he knew that Peter and James and John and the others had not stolen the body of Christ. He knew it. He didn't have to reason through it in any logical way. He ignored the empty tomb. He ignored the appearance of the angels. He ignored the fact that many had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. He ignored the impact that this appearance no doubt had begun to have on their lives. There was no more sadness. There was no more discouragement. There was no more crying. There was no more mourning. He ignored that. He ignored the new understanding which the disciples had. What do I mean by that? What did the Lord Jesus tell the Emmaus disciples? He told them, what's wrong with you? O foolish ones and slow to believe all that Moses and the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered and then enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them all things in the scriptures concerning himself. And then in Luke chapter 24, it says, the appearance on the evening of the resurrection, the Lord Jesus again told them that all the things in the scriptures must be fulfilled, and he opened their minds that they should understand. So one of the things that the disciples had, I'm speaking apart from Thomas, they had a new perspective that all of this should not have been a surprise because the scriptures had prophesied that a Messiah would die, that the Lord Jesus would die. And so there was this new understanding, this new perspective, which the disciples had and which Thomas also ignored. In verse 25 of John chapter 20, the Bible says, "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord." What the other disciples did in the Greek is expressed in a continuous tense. The other disciples were saying. It could be rendered, it could be translated in that way. In other words, the impression that you get is that the other disciples were saying to Thomas, not just once, not just twice, but were saying to him again and again, that we have seen the Lord, that we have seen the Lord. But he was ignoring these repeated statements which were being made. Also, ignoring the fact that the Lord Jesus, remember, before he had died, had many times shown miraculous power, not just giving sight to the blind and not just healing the lame, but also raising the dead. But also raising the dead. Unbelief is present in the heart of every person to some extent. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And if we say of Thomas, there are many things that he could have heard, that he no doubt did hear, and he could have given greater weight to them. We can say that in our day and time. The things that point to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, many and various. And what do people do? They mostly ignore them. They mostly reject them. And this is why the Bible says, who has believed our report? من صدق خبرنا. من صدق خبرنا. And what is needed is for the Lord Jesus to come in a special way to our hearts. For the Spirit of the Lord Jesus to convict us in a special way. Here is Thomas. What does he say? I'll believe if. And here come the conditions. When I see in his hands the print of the nails, and I put my finger into the print of the nails, and I thrust my hand into his side, otherwise I will not believe. Doesn't sound like a very nice statement. Sounds rather rough, rather coarse. كلام هيك منه ناعم منه لطيف في نوع من الخشونة نوع من الوقاحة a little bit rude. I will not believe, as if he is determined to head in that direction. But remember, again, Thomas should not be thought of as alone in this respect. What sign do you give us that we may believe? The Lord Jesus said, destroy this temple, and I will build it again in 3 days. Give us a sign. He said, the sign of the prophet Jonah, like he was in the belly of the great fish, 3 days and three nights, so also the Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth. And they didn't believe. And they did not believe. So, days pass. From one Sunday to the next. These were the days that immediately followed the Passover. They were known as the days of unleavened bread. This was a part, an extension of the Passover. The Passover was a particular day, but the days of unleavened bread, Iyam Chubz al-Fatir, اللي تبعت الفصح كانت نوع من الامتداد للفصح. Remember the Lord Jesus had spoken to them of, I go before you into Galilee and I'm going to meet you there and so on. But this was something that wouldn't happen right now because people were not supposed to travel during the time of unleavened bread. The 1 week which followed immediately the Passover was the time of unleavened bread. Here is Thomas. Now he is with the others, but still maintaining his position. Doesn't want to believe. We might be inclined to say, ما بدو يأمن 60 سنة و70 يوم ما يأمن. Let him not believe, as they say in Arabic, for 60 years and 70 days. Let him not believe if he is so determined. ما عجبه ما يعجبه. يروح يبلط البحر. if that is at all possible. But the Lord Jesus has a spirit of seeking, a spirit of mercy, a spirit of grace, a spirit of sympathy, but not just sympathy as in something from a distance, rather sympathy that is translated into action. The Lord Jesus cried over the city of Jerusalem, and then a few days later, he died for the city of Jerusalem. And here is one of his own not responding in the best way, not believing as he should, placing his own conditions and his own restrictions. The Lord Jesus comes. The Lord Jesus comes. God's work with regard to his children is a work that altogether from beginning to end arises out of his grace and his goodness. كل عمل الرب مع أولاده من بدايته إلى نهايته هو عمل نعمي, عمل ينبع من إصلاح وجود الرب ومش من أي استحقاق نحن عنا إيه. The Lord will be glorified in this one as well. And the fact that he doubted is something that people refer to and say, look, they didn't all believe. Oh, they were all ready to believe. Oh, they all said, no, they didn't. There were some people among them who were skeptical, and yet what they saw was enough to convince them. The doors are shut. He stands in the midst. Once again, he says, peace be unto you, which is what he said when he appeared to them the first time, which is what he said to them before his death on the cross. And then he speaks to Thomas, and he tells him, ضربت خلارة أبتك يا توما. May a blow break your neck. No, he doesn't say that. Shame on you, you low down, unbelieving, ingrate. عيب عليك انت اللي ما عندك شكر وما عندك امتنان وما عندك ايمان. A bruised reed shall he not break and the smoking flax shall he not quench. القصبة المرضوضة ما بيقطعها ما بيقصفها الرب. The spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has anointed me, Isaiah 61 and verse 1, to bind up the brokenhearted. Come, Thomas, just as you said. This is the same Lord Jesus who washed the feet of Thomas and other disciples. And notice the accuracy of what the Lord Jesus said. Thomas had spoken of nails in the hands, the side. He hadn't spoken of the feet, so the Lord Jesus didn't speak of the feet. I know what you said. I know exactly what you said. I know precisely what you said. Come do as you wanted. Do not be faithless. Rather, you should believe. And this is not anything new. Because the Lord Jesus spoke to Peter when Peter began to sink. Matthew chapter 14, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? How is it that we were not able to cast out this evil spirit from this boy? Matthew chapter 17 and verse 19, because of your unbelief. لعدم إيمانكم. Then remember the blind men who came to him, and he told them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" And they said, "Yea, Lord." And he said to them, "According to your faith, be it unto you, bihasab imanakum, yakun lakum." Remember how he said of the centurion, "I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel." Remember the Syrophoenician woman, al-mar'a as-suri al-finiqiyyi, of whom he also said, "Woman, great is your faith." This is not somebody else who is trying to play the role of Christ. In various stories that people have written, you sometimes have one person who looks like another person and takes his place. And do you know how sometimes in these stories of fiction, you know how the person is uncovered not to be the original one? Because what happens is the original one, let's say, is a kind person, and the one who takes his place and pretends to be him, you know, says things that are unkind, things that are different in character from the original one, the genuine one. أشياء مختلفة بروحيتها من الكلام يلي بيتكلم فيه الإنسان الحقيقي والأصيل. مع الرب يسوع المسيح هالأمر لم يحدث. What was said by him was entirely in character with what was known of him before his resurrection. What happens? Thomas is not any more interested, to the best of our knowledge, in sticking his finger somewhere or in thrusting his hand in somewhere. You might see that in some paintings, by the way, but in the Bible, he does not actually put his finger or his hand that to the extent that you see that in some painting somewhere, it's not what the Bible says. It's not what the Bible says. Rather, what happens is that Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Oh, this is an exclamation, some people say. هيدا كلام هيك الإنسان بيتكلم فيه. Walking out, if it's very windy, you say, "My God, it's very windy." The Jews were not accustomed to using the name of God in any way like I just used the name of God. ما تأخذوني على هالاستخدام اللي هي اسم الرب اللي هو مش كتير استخدام محترم. The Jews did not use God's name in that way. This is not an exclamation of surprise. This is not someone was surprised and therefore said one thing or the other. This was looking to the Lord Jesus and confessing him as Lord and as God. Thomas was not crazy when he said that. He was responding to a very real truth, which had been witnessed by many other things, and now the resurrection is what? Is misk al-khitam, as they say. It is the capstone. It is the final piece evidence. Note with me that Thomas and Peter and Paul and others of the apostles, they had people bow down before them. They rejected it. Peter, when he went to the house of Cornelius bowed down before him. What did Peter say? Peter said, "Stand up, I'm also a man." In the town of Lystra, in Acts chapter 14, they brought sacrifices to offer them to Paul and Barnabas, as if they were gods. They said, "The gods have come down among us," when Paul and Barnabas performed a miracle there. Paul and Barnabas tore their clothes and they rejected the sacrifices. The angel, Revelation chapter 19 and Revelation chapter 22, when John the apostle bowed down before him, the angel said, "Stand up, see that you do it not. I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus, you should worship God." This is an admission, a confession of Jesus as Lord and God. It It's not an exclamation. It's not he was, you know, impressed with what he saw. It was something that indicated what he thought of the Lord Jesus. Thomas, because you have seen, you have believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. It has surely crossed many minds, I think perhaps every mind, that I wish that I could have seen the miracles of Christ, that I wish I could have seen these things take place, that I wish I could have been among those who saw the Lord Jesus risen from the dead. While that thinking is natural, the Lord Jesus gives us another view of this matter and says, blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. We single out Thomas in a special way, Thomas the doubter. It says in Matthew 28, when the Lord appeared in Galilee, it says that some doubted. It says in Mark chapter 16 that he upbraided them for the hardness of their heart. وَبَّخُنْ عَلَى قَسَوَةْ قُلُوبٌ. Not Thomas also only has this struggle. We know that we should walk by faith, and yet we are tempted to walk by sight. And this is something that happens with you and me as well. Thomas was there on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples along with other believers at that time. He bore witness and people believed and people heard. And this is written why. Many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Why aren't they written? Why don't we know everything that Jesus did? Well, he says at the end, if everything that he said and did was written, then the whole world would not contain the books thereof. But the thing is that the Bible is not around to satisfy people in terms of their curiosity about certain sensational things. Oh, I want to see a miracle. Herod wanted to see a miracle. And the Lord Jesus did nothing and said nothing. And Herod condemned Jesus. Ultimately, Jesus condemned Herod. That's what really happened. These are written that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. We say Thomas the doubter, Tuma Shekek. Have you never doubted anything that the Bible says? Have I never doubted anything that the Bible says? And this is part of what people do. They take a snapshot of a person at his worst, and all of a sudden, Thomas is the doubter. Well, Thomas believed, and Thomas preached the message. And like I said, likely, we don't know for sure, but likely he died for this message. He proclaimed these things, and he proclaimed them boldly. The Lord worked in the life of Thomas. The Lord was glorified in the life of Thomas. And Thomas bore witness to the truth. And Thomas preached truth. My Lord and my God. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that being dead, yet he speaks. It says it of Abel, if I remember correctly. In Hebrews chapter 11, my Lord and my God. This is what we should remember Thomas for, and we should follow in such footsteps. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the resurrection of our Lord and Savior from the dead. We thank you, Lord, for this great and marvelous occurrence, this great and marvelous miracle, this mighty work which bears such great witness to the truth that this is the Son of God, both God and man, who died for the sins of others and rose again. We thank you, Lord, for those who in that time bore this message, sacrificed so greatly, laid down their lives, many of them, so that this message would be known and proclaimed among men. These who have turned the world upside down, they said in Thessalonica, these who have turned the world upside down have come here also. So we thank you for Thomas. We thank you, Lord, for his believing. We thank you, Lord, for his faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for his preaching. And we look to him and we say, even one who is skeptical and even one who doubts, when so much is given that proves that Christ rose from the dead, even the one who doubts will believe. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to know that Christ is indeed risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of them that sleep. Encourage us by what we consider. Help us to know that these were men like us who saw these things and recorded them for us. And the truth that we are speaking of is not a cunningly devised fable. Rather, it is the truth of history, the truth of Christ, the truth of God, the truth which we must believe and receive so that we would know forgiveness of sins and have eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.